Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Conservatives in Action. I am so thankful to have you with me today as we have had a kind of a crazy week in my mind in politics, but I'm glad you joined with me. First of all, I'd like to start off the show by saying thank you for all of your hard work. Last Friday, we had a second half preview for the Missouri legislative session, and we didn't quite get to everything that I wanted to get to, so we followed it up with another show on Monday with Representative Pogue, and so we were able to cover a lot of important bills that are going to be coming up in the second half of the year. And because of that, we ended up having a lot of people contacting legislators. And I know that we made some headway. I know that some legislators have stood up to take notice on some of the bills that we talked about last week. And so that excites me. And so the first thing I want to do today is let everybody know that just a big thank you from the bottom of my heart. When God called me to do this, I was mildly hesitant but excited at the challenge, and it's exciting to see people stand with me and be willing to carry the banner along with me. And so I'd like to thank everybody for their time this week. I know that that we may not always win the battles immediately, but I believe that we're starting in the right direction, and so continue with me. Even in the face of some down times, keep hope that God will make us victorious in the end. So keep working with me if you would. Also, I wanted to let you know, if you're ever having any questions on any of the action steps that we talk about or any of the bills that we've gone over, please don't hesitate to contact me. You can find my email on the website. You can find me on Facebook at Jeremy Mahurin. You can find me on there through the Christian Conservatives in Action page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/CCNAction. You can find me there. You can find me on our website at ccnaction.org. And feel free. Don't ever hesitate to contact me. It's what God's called me to do, and I look forward to the opportunity to serving you. So please, please feel free to call. Now we're going to get into the topic this week, the truth about religious freedom. There has been a lot of talk about religious freedom this week, with Indiana and Arkansas passing the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts this week. It got a lot of press, caused a lot of issues, and so I started doing a lot of research. I wanted to know, what is the truth about the RFRAs? What's the truth about our religious freedom in this country? And so I started looking into the federal bill from 1993. I looked into the bill that Indiana passed this week, the bill that Arkansas passed this week, and I just wanted to talk about those with you today. There's been a lot of misconceptions that somehow this bill gives people with the religious right to go out and treat people poorly. And I would like to let everybody know right up front that I never feel like it's okay to treat people poorly. I think as Christians, it's our responsibility to spread the love of Christ, and I think that should always be evident. But I do also believe that it's important that we hang on to the religious rights that we have in our country. After all, our country was founded because a group of people were being persecuted for their religion in England. They came to America so that they could exercise religion, their religious freedoms. They wanted to be able to come to a place where the government didn't infringe on their right. They didn't tell them, you have to be a member of this denomination, this religion, or else you can't worship God the way that you choose. And the beauty of America is that we have the right to worship God however we wish. Now, do I agree with the way that everybody does it? Absolutely not. But the beauty of our country is that everybody has that chance to worship God however they see fit. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Satanist, you're free to exercise your religion however you see fit. And I really feel like lately our religious rights have come under attack. they've come under attack from a lot of different ways. If you have been paying attention to world events, you can see that ISIS has declared war on Christians. I mean, they're declaring war on America, but the reason that they're doing that is because of the Christians. They want to see an end to that. You see people in America, the LGBT community, they aren't interested in Christians having the right to say how they feel about the topic of homosexuality. If you don't agree with their viewpoint, they want to shut you down. They want to see you, your business fail. They want to see you placed in jail. They want to see all kinds of bad things happen if you don't agree with them. And from every which direction, our president has, in my opinion, if he hasn't declared war on Christianity, he certainly is making things difficult. And it's time for Christians to stand up for our religious freedom. So that's what we're going to talk about today. If you've been paying any attention at all, you've heard about Indiana passing the Religious Freedom Restoration Act this week. It led to all kinds of outrage. It's led to the CEO of Apple saying that they will not open any new stores in Indiana. It's gone as far as the University of Connecticut basketball coaching staff's not going to be attending the Final Four this week because the state of Connecticut, which also has a Religious Freedom Restoration Act on its books, says that they won't allow any travel to the state of Indiana. We've had all of these different problems. Our president has come out and just bashed Indiana for this law. And so I found it really interesting to find out that America has had a Religious Freedom Restoration Act on the books since 1993. And that was signed into law by none other than President Clinton, who I don't think has been known as our most upstanding president ever. And so I started doing some research on the differences between the two bills. And I found it interesting that I really felt like the wording of the federal law was the best one. It says in there, it says that Congress finds that the framers of the Constitution, recognizing free exercise of religion as an unalienable right, secured its protection in the First Amendment of the Constitution. It says that government should not substantially burden religious exercise without compelling justification. From the beginning of our country, we were to have these religious rights. It's not a matter of saying that our rights are more important than everybody else's. In my opinion, it's exactly the opposite. As I read through the different acts from Indiana, from the federal law, from Arkansas, I don't see anywhere where it gives you the ability to treat people any way that you see fit. It just simply says that your rights cannot be infringed upon. I heard someone, I don't remember who it was, they said that this act is really more of a shield than a sword. Instead of it being something you can go out and attack people with different beliefs with, instead it's just something that's there for those who are having their rights infringed upon. You go through the cultural events going on today and you can see our religious rights being imposed upon. I've made no bones over the fact that I support the repeal of the SOGI bill in Springfield, Missouri. It's coming up for a vote next Tuesday. And one of the massive reasons that I oppose that legislation is because it goes in and tells Christian businesses how they have to act. It goes in and tells churches how they have to act. And I just believe that we have the rights as Christians. We still have personal freedoms. And all this bill does is it protects them. It doesn't say you can go out and do what the Muslims are doing and throw homosexuals off top of buildings. As a matter of fact, none of the bills that I read say anything about the homosexuals. It only refers to the fact that Christians' rights cannot, or not Christians, but religious rights cannot be infringed upon. So I just think that this whole argument has been framed inappropriately. We've turned it into a Christianity versus homosexuality argument. And I just don't see how homosexuality has taken a role in this argument. I'm a Christian business owner. I've been a Christian business owner since I was 18 years old. And I have never discriminated against anybody, and I don't anticipate starting. But I also hold on to the values that we have in America. I hold on to the personal freedoms that I have the right to exercise my my worship, however I would choose to do so. And we've gotten to the point to where Elijah Haar had to propose an legislation in the Missouri House last week that says that Christian organizations or religious organizations in colleges have the right to have a standard for membership, for voting membership rights. That if that way, if you have a, for instance, a Christian organization at a on a college campus, that you have to espouse those Christian beliefs in order to have voting rights in that organization. And there was a lot of outrage. They said, what are you afraid of? But to me, the concept is very, very simple. We simply want to be able to exercise our rights and our ability to worship however we see fit without having to worry about people coming in and telling us how we have to act or how we have to do things. And I think the beauty of America is it doesn't just cover the Christians, even though that's my faith. It doesn't just cover us. It covers people of all faiths. You can feel free to worship however you choose. So I don't understand how we ended up at this point where we are, where it's framed as Christians versus homosexuals, because it defends the rights of Muslims, it defends the rights of satanic organizations, it defends the rights of the Catholic Church, it defends everybody's rights. Though if you remember in 1993, I'll never forget my feelings as this Religious Freedom Restoration Act in 1993 was passed, I was really excited to hear that our president was going to sign a bill that would protect religious freedom, until I realized that the reason that he was doing it were so that Indian tribes could smoke peyote or drink a hallucinogenic tea. And you realize that this was the idea behind it. And at that time, liberals were all for it. Whenever religious freedom meant the ability to use mind-altering drugs, they were all for it. But whenever your religious freedom becomes, I have some sincerely held beliefs that I don't want to violate, all of a sudden they hate the law and they want to start boycotting the states in the United States. I was listening to Glenn Beck and he was talking about the fact that President Obama wants to boycott the state of Indiana, but he is over in Iran and he is negotiating with them. Now in Iran, the group that he's working with, they believe that homosexuals should be killed. They believe they should be put to death. In America, in Indiana, I don't believe anybody is in favor of putting the homosexuals to death. They're just saying that if that religious people have the right to their beliefs, the right to their convictions, and we've declared war on them. And I find that so scary. I find it so scary that that whenever we stand up for our religious rights in America, that we can be, that people will come after us. There's a pizzeria in Indiana who was threatened to be burned down. They've said that they're going to shut their business down. They won't leave them alone because they said they wouldn't cater a gay wedding. Now, whether I agree or disagree with their stance, I definitely agree with the fact that they have the right to feel that way. But in America, we stand up and we go after them and we want their business to be shut down. And some people want harm to come to these people. And it's crazy to think that we've gotten to that place. I would just like to think that Americans can be better and do better than that. So I have a question, or the question that I want to pose today is, are these laws, these Religious Freedom Restoration Acts, are they motivated by hate? I was very curious to read the wording because of all the outrage. As I read the bills word for word, all three of them, the federal law, the Indiana law, the Arkansas law, I found nothing in there that says anything except for the fact that our religious rights cannot be violated, that our exercise of religion is not to be burdened unless the government finds a compelling, has a compelling interest. which I find scary, but that's in there. It says that our right to exercise our religion cannot be burdened unless the government has a compelling interest, which is very spooky. And they act like somehow this law gives us the right to treat people however we wish. But I don't see any of that hate. I don't think it was motivated by hate. I just think we're in a culture where we see that as Christians, our rights are being eroded. They're deteriorating. They're being taken away one by one. And they said, you know what? Enough is enough. It's no different from the Second Amendment Preservation Act, where we say, you know, I see that they're trying to take our gun rights one by one, so I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say that the Second Amendment is still valid. To me, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act just says, to me, the First Amendment is still valid. It doesn't endorse hate. It doesn't say that you can treat people poorly. All of the research that I have done says it doesn't even give you the right to refuse service, which I find kind of crazy, but it says there is no right to discriminate in the law, even though that's been the calling card that the LGBT community has been using, is that discrimination will run rampant. It does not give you the right to do that. It just says that we have the right to our sincerely held beliefs. So I don't see the hate. How will it be applied? Basically, the only thing that this law would guarantee is that if we are taken to court for discrimination or for exercising our religious rights, that this law could be used as a defense. That's all that it is. It doesn't go into the fact that we have a free pass to do whatever we want to. It just says that if we can prove that we have a sincerely held religious belief, that we have the right to that. And I just think that there's been much ado about nothing when it comes to this law. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, as I read the law, it scared me to death that it doesn't offer more protection than it does. I really anticipated whenever I read it that it would be a concrete defense should something happen. I really even figured that it would come closer to giving religious groups the right to discriminate, but I didn't see anything like that. As a matter of fact, all it did was say, if this is ever brought to court, you'll be able to use this as a defense. It just says that the government cannot violate us exercising our faith. So I think that the fear is not well founded, and I think we can, the people on the left and the right can calm down. We've had this law on the books since 1993. So in the last 22 years, there's not been one case where somebody who has discriminated against someone has used this to get off scot-free. There just isn't anything like that. The only time that I know of the federal law being used was in the Hobby Lobby case, where they did not want to pay for abortions, and it was used in that case to say, you know, we don't believe in abortion, and we're not interested in paying for it, and they were able to get relief from that. But that's the only time I know of that it's been used. So it's not this big thing that's going to change the entire course of American history. It's not going to move the needle much one way or the other. So anyway, I hope that brings some clarification about it. But it brought up a bigger question in my mind. Why is it that Christians were so easily painted into a corner on this topic? Why is it that they were able to paint us as haters and as bigots, and it stuck? Well, I think first and foremost, the media has a bias. But I think secondly, there's actually something to part of their argument. Glenn Beck made the comment. He said, the Christians' message is failing because they don't stand for anything. Think about his words. The Christian message is failing because they don't stand for anything. Whenever people on the other side look at Christians, they see somebody who says, I have a problem with, we'll just use their example of homosexuality. I have a problem with homosexuality, so I'm not going to serve a cake at their wedding, or I'm not going to take pictures at their wedding or supply the flowers for it. But they see the hypocritical side where we just don't stand for much. They don't see much of a difference between us and them. If an Amish person stood up and made a claim that they didn't believe in anything, folks would have zero issue believing them because they have stood so strongly for what they believe in. But we as Christians have backed away from our most firmly held beliefs. We've backed away from the things that we hold dear. We'll talk about the fact that we can't stand homosexuality and that gay marriage is wrong and go home and watch Ellen. There's just something wrong there. We say on one hand that we don't agree with things, but our life doesn't show that. And I think it's important that as Christians that we become salt and light again. In my home church services, we've been talking about the importance of being salt and light. And as I look at what's going on in the political landscape, to me that's the big difference, is we need Christians to be Christians again. We need to become Christ-like. The word Christian means Christ-like. We need to be like Christ again. We don't need a law that says that we can't discriminate against somebody from the homosexual, the LGBT community, because as Christians, we should be showing the love of Christ. We should be showing the light of Christ. When people see us, they ought to see something different. They shouldn't see people who could ever be filled with hate. I would like to believe that if I was ever brought up and people said that I was nothing but a hater, I would like to think that I had shown enough love in my life that people would say, well, that's just not the Jeremy that I know. That's the life that I want to lead. And it's the life that we as Christians should want to lead. I believe that if we would set ourselves apart and do what God has asked us to do in the Bible, that whenever we stand up for our religious freedoms, whenever we say, I'm sorry, this goes against all of the teaching that I've ever received, I believe people would take us serious instead of just snickering and saying, well, I find it real interesting that you're going to stand up for this topic whenever I see all of these other issues. So my action steps today are actually pretty simple. Let's take a look at our lives. Let's take a look at how we stand on topics. Do we reflect the light of Christ? Do we reflect the love of Christ? Are we the salt of the earth? Are we preserving it? Are we making things better? I would hope that each and every one of us can say, you know what, I think I do a pretty good job of that, but I'm going to work more diligently in the future to do so. I would never use my religious rights, I don't think, to discriminate against anyone. But in the case where I had a situation that I needed to stand up, I would like to that people would be able to look at my life and say, you know what? He's always been strong in his faith. And if he feels strongly about it, I can respect that. That's the type of people that we should be. So I hope that we will continue our stand. I really believe we're to the point to where we can say enough is enough. Our religious rights are important because, let me tell you, they've already started subpoenaing message transcripts in Houston, Texas, because they're afraid that they won't like what the pastors are preaching. Our religious rights are being taken away, and it's time for us to stand. So I hope that you'll stand with me. I do want to update you on the situation with the SOGI repeal. Don't forget that election is on April 7th. For everybody who's in the Springfield area, please don't forget to go vote. Go and make your voice heard. If you're in the area, encourage your friends to vote. Continue sharing statuses on Facebook. Continue doing everything you can to get the word out about how important this topic is, because it just takes away more of our religious freedoms. So please stand with me in prayer as this time is drawing near on the vote. I believe that the direction of that vote will determine where our state is headed. And so I pray that you'll continue working with us on that. Remember Calvin Morrow in your prayers. Remember Yes on Question 1 in your prayers. The pastor from James River Assembly, remembering him in your prayers. Pastor from Sycamore Baptist Church, be remembering him in your prayers. All of these people who have stood I'd like to say a huge thank you to Representative Jeff Polk for taking a stand publicly on this topic. I believe that it is so important that we stand and make ourselves counted, and that they will see that there's something different about us. If you haven't done so already, please like the Christian Conservatives in Action Facebook page. Go and sign up for our mailing list on our website at ccinaction.org and continue helping us make a difference. We're starting to, we're definitely moving the needle. People are definitely paying attention to what's being said, and I hope that we can continue growing, and I hope that as we take action, we'll begin seeing the change that America needs. We keep taking steps in the wrong direction. But this week, with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act being passed in Arkansas and Indiana, even in the face of all of the hatred and the name-calling, they stood strong anyway. And so please let your legislators know how you feel about these topics and continue to encourage them. If you haven't done so already, be sure and send Governor Pence from Indiana a thank you for standing up on this topic and standing strong in the face of all the trials. They get to hear the negative so often. So often they hear the negative, but don't ever, ever overlook the importance of a kind word and just a word of thank you whenever legislators do the right thing. It's so vital. Thank you for being with us today. I'd like to close today in a word of prayer. Lord, I come to you today. Lord, I thank you for this time that we had together. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we're starting to the legislators are taking notice. Lord, I thank you for all the people who have stood up on yes on question one in Springfield. I thank you for the legislators in Indiana and Arkansas who stood up this week in the face of all of the opposition. They did the right thing anyway, Lord. They didn't allow a vocal minority to affect what they did, but instead they stood true to what they knew to be correct. Lord, our nation was founded on Christian principles. Lord, may we get back to those. May we as Christians stand up and be salt and light in our communities. May people see something different about us so that they can look to us for leadership on all of these issues. Lord, multiply the work we do. We give you the thanks for it. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us today, and have a wonderful weekend. God bless you.